God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
One blessed kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are kept or hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Second book of Samuel. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast them unmightily from their thrones, and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to help those servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever be forever.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Good morning on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Every 7 years, we get this wonderful both fourth Sunday of Advent with four candles lit and Christmas Eve all on one day. And so we hope that especially this morning, you will have fun, that this will be more informal. Remember when Jesus met with people, it was at table, at supper, and it was informal. So the whole service, I hope, will be a communion for us and for the whole community. Well, we're finally in these last hours awaiting the coming of the Christ child. Our opening prayer asks God to purify our conscience. How pure Mary's conscience must have been when the angel Gabriel in all his glory appeared to her. Gabriel's greeting confirms that Mary indeed is pure and was full of grace. "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what they meant. Notice, Mary's paying attention. She's very open. And she now takes this in and reflects, ponders the meaning. That the Lord is with Mary means God is working out divine purposes through her life. God is working out God's divine purposes through her life. Mary doesn't yet grasp all that will be expected of her, but she's willing. She's a willing recipient to God's call. Gabriel calms her fears But then he drops a bombshell. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary's identity is closely tied to Joseph's, is closely tied to the heritage of Joseph, to whom she is engaged. The house of David is the reality God promised to build. And we find in 1 Chronicles 17, where the scriptures say, I will establish his throne forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. I will not take my steadfast love from him, but I will confirm him in my house and in my kingdom forever. So Gabriel's words reflect back or echo those in the Old Testament in 1 Chronicles. All right, Mary's taking all this in. And now she had to be flabbergasted because she bursts out, how can this be, since I am a virgin? How can this be? Not a problem, says Gabriel. Not a problem, who spells out the mission in more detail. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Imagine how Mary must be thinking and feeling at this moment. Dazed, surprised, troubled, fearful, and struggling to understand what all this means. But Gabriel helps her move along in understanding by telling her how her cousin Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. And Gabriel says, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary really took that in and believed and accepted it, so that when the angelic dialogue was over, she was faced with a momentous decision. She was faced with the terror of deciding. As somebody put it, she stands on the ledge of courage and leaps. In a total act of commitment, Mary echoes Isaiah's response to God when he was called, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Let it be, in Latin, fiat. Mary gives her fiat. In time, Mary's understanding leads her from fear to recognizing God's gift of love to her. And the ability to accept God's love causes her to unite her will to God's mission. When she unites her will to God's mission, the result is conception. Not long afterward, Mary leaves Nazareth with haste to go into the hill country to the house of Zechariah, where she greets Elizabeth. Now, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe inside her womb leaped for joy. and filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to you from the Lord." In response, Mary utters the beautiful prayer, the Magnificat, which we all just sang together. In this, Mary thanks God for favoring her, such a lowly servant. Many artists have depicted the scene of the Annunciation as they imagine it. I've put two on the back table there for you to see. And there's also a poem by Denise Levertov called Annunciation. Just part of it says, "Mary did not cry, 'I cannot, I am unworthy,' nor, 'I have not the strength.' She did not submit with gritted teeth, raging, coerced. Bravest of all humans, consent illumined her. Consent, courage unparalleled, opened her utterly. And she said, 'Let it be, let it be.'" Earlier in the poem, Levertov reflects on the annunciations in each of our lives. Aren't there annunciations of one sort or another in most lives? Some unwillingly undertake great destinies, enact them in sullen pride, uncomprehending. More often, those moments when roads of light and storm open from darkness in a man or woman are turned away in dread, in a wave of weakness, in despair, and with relief. Then ordinary lives continue. End of the poem. In other words, for many of us, fear paralyzes our response to God. Playing it safe is the entrenched habit. Risking it all is dangerous territory. But fear does not have to trump favor. Fear does not have to trump grace. Like Mary, we, each of us gathered in this room, is full of grace. At the opening of every Eucharist, and again at the offertory, the priest says, "The Lord be with you." And everybody responds, "And also with you." But do we reflect and ponder how God is working out the divine purposes through our lives? Do we ponder what God is doing for us, how God is calling us when we hear this greeting? Our fiats or annunciations don't have to be major life-changing events. They can simply be the yes to help make life more meaningful, more beautiful for others. And I'll give you just one little example. Michael, who has limited intellectual capacities, volunteered to help our crucifers all through Advent, but he's now in Oklahoma today. He said yes to what he felt God was calling him to do, and that was a brave and courageous act. And standing behind the altar when we say the great amen, everybody said amen. And then Michael said, "Amen." And I felt the presence of the Lord in this place. We all have annunciations. And I'm going to end with some quotes from our new bishop, Brian Cole's Christmas letter to all the faithful. And he begins by quoting a Kentucky poet, Wendell Berry. And I'm just going to read a little bit. Remembering that it happened once, we cannot turn away the thought as we go out cold to our barns toward the long night's end, that we ourselves are living in the world it happened in when it first happened, that we ourselves opening a stall, a latch is thrown open countless times before, but that when we enter that stall might find them breathing there, foreknown, the child bedded in straw, the mother kneeling over him, the husband standing in belief he can scarcely believe. In light that lights them from no source we see, an April morning's light, the air around them joyful as a choir. We stand with one hand on the door looking into another world. That is this world, the pale daylight coming just as before. Our chores to do, the cattle all awake, our own white frozen breath hanging in front of us. And we are here, and I'll add, in Bethlehem. And we are here as we have never been before, sighted as not before, our place holy, although we knew it not. For the bishop, the poem captures our deepest belief about the Christ child. We proclaim that the child was born in Bethlehem. Wendell Berry's poem shows us each that we all live near Bethlehem, that we're all walking through doors that we have walked through 1,000 times, unlatching latches that we have lifted time and again, only now to stumble upon the Holy Family as we cross the threshold. And his hope is that we will all see with new eyes what's happening around us. And to help us in our parish here, I've brought my nativity set that I got in Kenya when I was in Africa, to help us remember that while maybe the baby Jesus was Caucasian, the Christ child is all colors, all races, and belongs to all cultures. And he invites the Episcopal parishes, when they hear the good news of the Christ child proclaim, that they take that light of Christ out into the world. Because, he says, our message is this: because the Christ was born in a manger, any place we see has now been made holy, fit for the possibility of new birth, even the parish hall. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand with me as we confess our faith in the reading of the Nicene Creed, found in your bulletin on page 10. We believe
in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
That the light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others, especially those on our prayer list. Margaret,
Jean, Steve, Nicole, Courtney and J.R., Blair, John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Jaden, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Regina, Irene, Larry and Sally, June, Michael, Joe, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Ben and Pat, Doug, Ed, Alberta, Tom, Angela, Tony, Jane, Tony, Zach, Clip, Betsy, Michael, Clara, Georgina, Nancy, Judy, Joycey, Bernard, Russ, Jerry, Sarah, Janice, Bill, Martha, Eddie, Judy, Shane, Judy, Emily.
Are there any other petitions? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Tracy Ingram.
Holy God, accept the prayers of our people. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you
in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good.
Peace, buddy. Peace. Looking like Santa Claus.
Yeah, my granddaughter. Tomorrow.
Hey, Sonny, how are you?
To all of us, Gene and some of the members who haven't been able to come because of illness or whatever, are here with us, and we thank God for that. Gene and Larry and everybody who has been happy to have you today. We have several announcements. Where's Shane? Well, do you have any senior warden?
I do not, other than a reminder to the vestry that we have moved the vestry meeting to January the 9th. So I sent out an email with an agenda. If you've got additional agenda items, please send them to me.
Okay, we're going to be doing communion a little differently. Our servers will bring the patents, and you will commune the person next to you, and it will go around. We'll have two. Okay, one coming this direction, another coming that direction, and then they will bring the wine to you. Okay? Where is Shane? I didn't see Shane.
If y'all can't smell it right now, there is some chili that is currently heating up on the stove. That is for all of us to enjoy after service.
That's Shane's
gift. Oh, boy.
So thank you.
Plenty of.
Anybody else? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Sorry.
of you in your own annunciation.
And also in you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death, and to make us heirs in him of everlasting life, that when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Spoken through the prophets, and above all in the Word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with Mary, Joseph, Francis, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you.
graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Come, blessed Gabriel, bearer of good tidings. Give us gladness in the unfolding history of the earth community, and teach us the harmony of partnership and new creation. Come, blessed Michael, sword of the righteous, empower us to engage the evil in these times and to establish God's peace. Come, blessed Raphael, healer of Tobit, bless us with the powers to heal ourselves in this planet and fill us with the divine compassion. Amen. Come, blessed Uriel, flame of light, open our eyes to see ever more deeply the beauty of this planet and all creation, and instruct us in the ministry of praise. Holy and blessed coming one, Lord Jesus, enter our hearts in your love, joy, and peace. Enable us for the new heavens and the new earth, and lead us into our future. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you forever.
Amen. Amen.
Of Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thanks be to God.